here this evening, and let me show you something in the Bible. The Lord's been dealing my heart about the last few days. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Everybody, look in your Bible. Deuteronomy, that D-E-U-T, that means five, fifth book in the Bible. Chapter number 6, and I want to look at a statement that God made here, teaching the children of Israel in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and tonight we're going to look at one verse of Scripture. I want to give you a little thought, and we'll let you go. I know it's Father's Day evening, and some of you still may have not visited your father or spend time with him, and I appreciate you doing the right thing coming to church tonight. God will bless you for that. We do have those that are gone to be with their father. And I want to tell you, we have donuts on sale tonight. Ain't we back there? Got them back there, fellas? Amen. They're on sale tonight, and I mean, Leaf can only eat so many boxes of donuts, 8 or 10. But we need to get rid of them. Now, they're a day old now, Bill, tomorrow, so the guys told me to tell you, they're high priced, two for $5, boxes of donuts, two for $5. They're just not as fresh as it was this morning. And so two for $5 or four for $10. You can get boxes of donuts, take them home with you and take them to work this week. You know, after they're a few days old, you can still heat them up in the microwave and they'll soften right back up. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at verse number 18. Deuteronomy 6:18. Everybody look at this now. Give me attention just for a minute tonight. Please, we need everybody to be still. Nobody getting up, walking out while I'm preaching. Some of y'all got sort of a bad habit of that, and what it does, it teaches our bus kids that's okay. And so let's stay. Keep your seat now. Don't get up and walk out until I get through, out of respect for God and His Word. And so let's do that tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 18. And thou shalt do that which is right. Good statement, isn't it? And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. That little phrase up there at the top of the verse, do that which is right, is what I want to preach tonight. I want to preach on do that because it's right. Do it because it's right. Listen to me. Do it because it's right. You are just starting to learn what a mature Christian is when you do the right thing just because it's the right thing. Not because you feel good when you do it. Not because you're going to try to get a blessing. Not because you enjoy it. Just because it's right. I'm not supposed to do the right thing because I enjoy it. Now, if I get to enjoy it, that's good. I'm supposed to do the right thing because I'm supposed to do the right thing. If I don't enjoy it, I do the right thing anyway. If I don't get a blessing, you do the right thing anyway. If you don't get recognized, you do the right thing anyway. Some people won't do anything unless they get recognized. They want to be bragged on and petted and patted on the back. And I'm not against recognizing people sometimes when they do good, but that's not why we're supposed to do the right thing. We're not supposed to do the right thing because it makes us feel good. We're not even supposed to do the right thing because we're scared we'll get in trouble if we don't. We're supposed to do the right thing because God said do the right thing, period. Now, all that other stuff you might get, you might not get. Bob Jones said do right. He said do right if the stars fall. No matter what situation you find yourself in, the answer is simple. Just do the right thing. Do the right thing. Do what the Bible said. And every bit of trouble I've ever got into and every bit of trouble you've ever got into is when we've done the wrong thing at the wrong time. You do right and you'll come out right. You do wrong, you'll come out wrong. Now, I want to say three things about this tonight. It'll be quick, so everybody listen to me. Just a little reminder. Number one, do right by your mate. Do right by your mate. You'd be surprised at the time that I spend marriage counseling. The average preacher today spends hours every week marriage counseling. Not just people in our church. I have people call me from other states lots of times because they're embarrassed maybe to go to their pastor, or they're embarrassed to maybe talk to somebody in their church. And it's a sad thing that you can't even talk to nobody in your church, or a lot of times your pastor, because you know they'll blab it all over creation. It's hard to find somebody you can confide in and know they'll keep it quiet. You know that? It really is. And so they'll say, I've had people tell me, said, I can't even tell my preacher, he'll tell everybody. Well, I can't tell, he'll tell everybody. Brother Danny, can I trust you? I said, you tell me not to tell somebody something, and I guarantee you by the help of God, I will not. And that's where man ain't got no business counseling if he can't keep his mouth shut about the people he's talking to. That's right. Anyway, that's not y'all's problem. But anyway, I spend a lot of time marriage counseling. And the reason the divorce rate is so high is very simple. I can take hours of marriage counseling and DVDs and marriage seminars and boil them down to two things. And I can tell you how to keep your marriage sweet. Number one, don't take each other for granted. And number two, give each other the same respect that you give everybody else. Simple, isn't it? Simple. That will work in any marriage. Now, that sounds easy. Don't take each other for granted. If you start taking each other for granted, that's when you start being hateful and smart-alecky to each other and fussing all the time and griping about every little thing that they do or don't do that you don't like. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. You say, well, she ain't there. Well, maybe she ain't. But the church ain't always what it's supposed to be either. And Jesus loves the church and gave himself for it. Listen, just because your wife ain't perfect don't give you no right to be mean to her, man. You hear me? You're just backslidden full of the devil and want to take out your meanness on your wife and then blame it on her. Amen? It don't matter what she do, you have no right to be mean and hateful to your wife. Just because your husband ain't everything he should be gives you no right to be a grouch and hateful to him. I got one old fellow, they said one time, they said, you wake up grouchy in the morning? He said, Lord, no, I let her sleep. But anyway, that's right, brother. Sometimes that's just the way it goes, and it needs to go. I'm going to tell you, you don't take each other for granted and show each other the same respect that you show everybody else. I mean, if you come in here in this church on Sunday morning and so-and-so walks in and you say, well, you look nice today, then you ought to tell your wife she looks nice today. Matter of fact, you really ain't got no business telling somebody else's wife that they look nice today. But I know a lot of men that do that. I know men, I've seen it right here in this church. I have nobody in mind when I say this, honest to the Lord. They'll go around and lovey-dovey on all the girls, you know, and all that, and won't even hold their wife's hand on the way to church. Listen, you love that woman like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And God will bless you for it. Do right by your mate. It don't matter if you feel it. Do the right thing by your mate. Now, you show each other the same respect that you show everybody else. It's amazing how polite we can be to our neighbors, to the people at work, and how hateful we can be to our mate. I wonder if some of you people that put on a good front at church, if we saw how hateful you are to your husband or wife at home, I wonder if it might give us a different view of you. I just wonder that. Lord have mercy. I never would have believed it. When I first started pastoring, I seen everybody come to church. I saw families walk in smiling with a perfect little kid, and you would never know that they hated each other's guts, that they talked to each other like dogs. I mean, disrespectful. I'm going to tell you, everybody in here that's married tonight, I'm going to tell you something here tonight. You respect your mate. You do right by your mate. You treat that woman with some respect and honor and be good to her. And ladies, you treat that man with honor, with honor. A woman has to have security, and a man has to have honor. You cannot talk to him and degrade him and tear him down all the time and expect him to be crazy over you. And men, you cannot degrade her. I know men who talk to their wife like she was a dog and expect them to come running to her making a big fuss over them all the time. That ain't the way it works. It works both ways. Amen? It works both ways. Amen? Yeah, I know. I marriage counsel all the time. The women come to me and they'll say, he won't listen. He will not listen.
listen. And the man said, I say, is that true? He said, no, it's not true. I listen. I just don't agree with what she said. And a woman has something in her that thinks, there's no way I could be wrong. And if you're not agreeing with me, it's because you ain't listening. Yeah. And if you was listening, you'd see it my way. Therefore, you ain't listening. And that's wrong on the woman's part. You got to realize that men and women are different. They're different as daylight and dark. They're like heads and tails. They think different. God made us different. We're two sides of the coin. I'm not married, but if I was married, I'd want to be married. I wouldn't want to be married to a man. I don't want to be married to a man, for heaven's sake. You say, I don't know what's wrong with my wife. She thinks like a woman. She's supposed to. She is a woman. You want one that's a man, you perv? I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, you want a woman to think like a woman. She balances you out a little bit. You want a man. You say, well, he's just like a man. He's just like, well, of course he's like a man. He is a man. A man's got to have, they say, a man's got to have something that he likes to do. Fish, hunt, work on the yard, play golf. Men are adventurous. They're conquerors. They got to have something that they want to do. And a woman's got to feel needed. If you make your wife feel like she's not needed, you're doing your wife wrong. Hey, come on over here, brother. Let's get some shouting going on right over there. I heard it. Lord's moving right over here. Is it the newlyweds? They've only been married 5 hours. Y'all had a fight yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. All right. This couple right here has never had a fight since they've been married. Right there they are. Stand up, Jeff. Amen. They've only been married 5 hours. Let's give them a big hand. Woo! Amen. All right. You can be seated. All right. I noticed he had a little duct tape on his wedding band to make it fit. Oh, is that what it was? A Band-Aid. But anyway, his fingers are so skinny, his ring wouldn't fit, and they put a Band-Aid on it. Anyway, listen, you got to respect each other. You do right by your mate. Do right by your mate. Everybody in here, you said, well, I just don't feel like I didn't say do what you feel. I said do right. If you don't feel it, do the right thing anyway. It's not always easy, but if you'll do it, it won't be long till maybe they'll be doing it. And the first thing you know, you don't go by your feelings. Listen. Have anybody in here ever gotten an argument with your husband and your wife, and you could feel it coming up in you? You could feel it coming up. Oh, you want to kill them. You say, I've had a lot of people tell me, if I ever get out of this, and I'll never get married again. Yeah, you would. You just say it. Everybody does. Everybody says that, and then everybody does it. Everybody says that, then everybody does it. I'm going to tell you something, brother. God made us for companionship. You are made that way. And I'm going to tell you tonight, you better learn how to forgive. And you know what marriage is? It's forgiving all the time. I re-forgive you, and I re-forgive you. And let's start all over and not bring up the past and beat them over the head with it and not fuss at every little thing they do. Learn how to let some things slide. They said this woman one time, her and her husband fought all the time, and she made her a list. And she wrote down 10 things that he does that she hates, that just drives her up the wall. 10 things. I hate this. I hate the way he throws his socks in the living room floor. I hate the way he squeezes the toothpaste out and just leaves it laying there. I hate the way he don't do this. Just little stupid stuff like that. And I hate this, and I hate that, and I hate this. And she said, I brought that before God, and I said, I'll not get mad at him for any of these 10 things. And their marriage was fine from then on. They was getting mad over little bitty thing. And you know, but on the other hand, if you know something irritates your mate, why would you want to just keep doing it anyway? Yeah. I mean, why? Don't you know if it's easy to change and it ain't going to kill you, you ought to try to make every change you can to accommodate your mate. You ought to give your mate everything they want if you can. Right. Say amen right there. Lord, some of y'all are looking at me like, that's right. Have you been talking to him? That's what some of y'all say on the way home. Did you call Brother Danny and tell him? No, they didn't. But I want to tell you something, brother. I know what I'm talking about. And you know what you ought to do? You ought to say, whatever they want, I'm going to try to give it to them. I'll try my best. And here's what we do. Say, I ain't doing that because they won't do that. Well, if you think I'm doing that, you ain't doing this. And we just get stubborn and see who's going to give in first. Ain't that right? Yeah. Do right. Let me ask you something. Are you doing your mate right? Don't raise your hand. Don't nod your head. Are you doing your mate right? The truth is, all of you that are married need to get in this altar and say, dear God, help me to do right by my mate. Do the right thing. What's the right thing? Not what you feel. Not what you think you have a privilege to do. Not what they deserve. What's right? What's right? Funny how some of you guys can fuss at your wife and talk bad to her all the time until you want something, then you're all sweet. You expect her to clean the house. It's funny how some of you ladies can talk to him like he's a dog, but you appreciate that paycheck coming in every week, don't you? Let me ask you a question now. Are you doing right by your wife? Or you do the right thing. Tonight when we get out of here, take her and buy her something fancy. 2X Tough's McDonald's. One of them big, you can get one of them big things. What's them things you had the other night, brother, when he was over? With chocolate on top of it? One of them Sundays for a dollar. Lord have mercy. And it's got, I mean, them things look, he had one, it had that much chocolate on the top of that thing. A dollar! That's amazing to me how men, when it comes, their wife wants something. We can't afford it. We ain't got no money. But boy, when they want something, they can finagle around and get that money up somehow, can't they? Yes, sir. They can't pay their tithes, but they can go on vacation. They can't give to God. They can't buy her nothing for the anniversary, but they can buy that new fishing rod. Or they can buy that new pair of tennis shoes or that golf club. Lord have mercy. Just do right by your mate. I want everybody in here to ask yourself the question, am I doing right by my mate? God wants you to stay together and live right and do the right thing. Number two, done killed it already, so might as well finish you off. Number two, do right by your church. Do right by your church. Are you doing right by your church? Amen. I mean, brother, listen, you know God wants you to have three homes. I heard Dr. Adrian Rogers. I heard him say that. He's done dead and gone now, but I listened to him sometime on the radio. He said God wants everybody to have three homes. God wants you to have a church home, God wants you to have a family home, and God wants you to have a heavenly home. That's good, isn't it? He wants you to have a church home, He wants you to have a family home, God wants you to have a heavenly home. He wants every one of us to have three homes. Thank God I got all three. I got a good church, I got a good home. Hey, I don't ever fuss at my house, ain't nobody fuss with. All the girls done moved out. But I tell you, I mean, there ain't been a fuss in my house in a good while. I'm telling you, hallelujah, I got a good church, I got a good home, and I got a heavenly home waiting on me. Amen. That's a blessing. And you know what? We ought to do right by our church. We ought to do right by our church. Shining Light Baptist Church is our church. God's been good to us. I'm telling you, I liked it a while ago when the little breeze blew through here, when there was a singing, and you started feeling the blessings of the Lord, and you started feeling His power and His presence. We ought to thank God. Thank God we've got a church. It ain't like this everywhere. It ain't. You know, most churches today are going contemporary and having to put up screens and impress people, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but they're just trying to say, we'll do anything if people will just come. We'll give you coffee. We'll give you cookies. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, there's no old-time Holy Ghost Bible preaching conviction. People do anything in the world trying to keep a crowd at church. We ought to thank God, brother, we've got a church where you can still feel God's presence once in a while. Amen. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, you know what I read the other day? I saw it, read it on the news or something. There was a 15-year-old girl went to see the Boston Bruins, and I think the Boston Bruins is who won the NHL Cup the other day, National Hockey League, and they won, first time they'd won since 1970 or something like that. I don't watch hockey. I'm not interested in it, but they won it. You know, they were celebrating. There was a 15-year-old girl, ladies and gentlemen, got one of their players to autograph her arm right here. And it showed it on the news. It had his name signed with a magic marker. That girl went home. She said, oh. And she took cellophane, wrapped it around her arm, taped it. She's not going to wash that arm for 3 years. When she's 18, she's going to have it tattooed over that and have that permanently on her arm. She said she will not wash her arm for 3 solid years. That's how messed up people's mind are in this country. And the thing about it is, a lot of teenagers all over the country say, oh my goodness, if I had Justin Bieber's signature, I'd never wash my arm yet. Listen, you idol worshiping idiot, you. You have no brains in your head. If we did that at church, they'd have the government sometime down here investigating us. What if we had Frankie Hunt wrote on our arm, and I said, I'm not going to wash it. I'm going to have it tattooed on my arm. They'd be sending people down here to investigate us. They'd be saying them people's crazy. I'm going to tell you something, Frankie Hunt's a greater man than that hockey player. I'm telling you tonight, we've got our priorities messed up. We come to church and sit like we're about to die and go to somewhere, a race or a ball game, scream our guts out. There's something wrong with us. We ought to do right by our church. We ought to say, glory to God, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to die and go to hell. But I'll do right by our church once in a while. Man, it makes me mad. It makes me mad there's people laying out tonight. It makes me mad how people disrespect their church and care nothing about their church and would rather go to a ball game than a church. I'll tell you guys something. You know, I've been playing softball, and I got to go watch them play 2 games, and it was enjoying. I liked it. They won. I think they won both. Well, one time when I watched them, nothing wrong with that. I'm all for it. Hallelujah. But I don't understand somebody never missed softball game and missed church services. Something wrong with that. I don't understand somebody will play softball 2 or 3 times a week and won't go visiting 1 time a week. You say, well, I'm busy on Saturday morning. Have that softball game on Saturday morning and watch how busy you get.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
Say amen right there. We ought to do right by our church. And I'm talking to you. Amen. If a shoe fits, wait. Brother, we ought to do right by our church. I'm not against playing softball. Play every day if you want to. Hallelujah. I'll play with you. But I'm telling you, we ought to do right by our church. It's funny how we make time for everything else but church, but God. Amen. There was 20,000 Dallas Maverick fans in Dallas. The game was in Miami. The game was in Florida, brother. And there's 20,000 fans in the Dallas Maverick arena in Texas screaming their heads off. When God looks down and sees that, he sees a nation that's forgotten him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Say whatever you want to. Get mad and call me narrow-minded. Call me whatever you want to. That ain't right, and none of that crowd went to church that day.
Amen.
You'll be sorry one of these days when you're laying in a hospital bed somewhere or something, you'll need God to answer your prayer, and you'll look back and say, I thought ball games were more important. Amen. That's right, brother. You talk about fanatics. Give me a break. I'm telling you, brother, we ought to be faithful to our church and do right by our church. Some are stealing God's money. Are you stealing God's money? Amen. Some of you, if you've done the right thing tonight, you'd write a check tonight and get caught up on your giving and give it to the treasurer back there and say, look, I've been wrong. I've been backslid. Here's $600. Here's $800. Here's $1,000. I need to get caught up. You better do the right thing. God said do right. Just do the right thing by your church, and God will bless you for it. Amen? That's right, brother. Be friendly. Be friendly. There's a lady come last week. There's a lady. I didn't even know her name. She sat back yonder somewhere, and nothing. Please, y'all, will y'all help me with this? Ain't nobody here but us and the Lord and the devil tonight. Just a little family talk. Will y'all help me do something? This lady sat back here, and I had to go ask 2 or 3 of our ladies, will you please go back and speak to that lady right back there? I had to ask her to. And everybody else just walked right by her. A little gang over here, a little gang over here, and that lady just sitting there. How would you like to be in a strange church just sitting there? I've had 2 complaints in the last year of people who said, Brother Danny, I wouldn't come to church, that the people are just not friendly. Now that shocks y'all, because we are friendly to each other. But when somebody new walks in, y'all walk right by them like they ain't even sitting there. It ain't going to kill you to someone and say, good to have you. I know what your problem is. Sometimes you say, well, Lord, I went over and spoke to so-and-so and said, glad to have you. And they said, well, been coming a year. You know, I mean, you know, don't do that. I just come and say, hey, how are you? And if you know the news, speak to them. We ought to do right by our church.
Right.
We ought to do right by our church. Amen. We ought to do right by our church. Let me say a couple more things here, and I'll be through. We ought to do right. We ought to respect the church. We ought to honor God. We ought to honor our mentor, our money, our time, and all that stuff. But let me say one more thing, and I'm done tonight. We ought to do right by our lost neighbors, our bus kids. We ought to do right. Everybody here knows that our bus ministry has been attacked. It's been attacked. And everybody here is sitting here saying, I know it needs to be done, but not me. That's your attitude. I know it needs to be done, but not me. I ain't going to get in there. I ain't giving up my Saturday mornings. That's your attitude. And I'm going to tell you tonight, God's going to judge us. God, the devil's fighting us like crazy. He's fighting us like crazy. And there's enough people in here tonight to run all of our bus routes and start five more. Yeah. Your problem is you say, not me, not me. I done this or I done that. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You better do right by lost sinners. I heard about a football player this year. You know, you see how them football players are, they put this stuff under their eyes, I guess to keep the glare, is that why they do that? The glare of the sun from shining on them. And this guy had John 3:16 wrote on under his eyes right here. Did anybody see that? It was on the news. That guy was a Christian. And they was interviewing him, and they used to put Philippians 4:13, that said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And right before, I think it was the Super Bowl or something, one big game, he wrote John 3:16 under both eyes. And he played that game, and every time a camera would get close up of him, you could see that John 3:16.
Yep.
And they put it on his website, and they said something like 9 million people Googled John 3:16 after that ball game. Just because that boy. Yeah. Let me tell you something tonight. All you got to do, them bumper stickers, I like that bump. You saved your bumper stickers off your truck, didn't you, Tim? Okay, you better not get rid of that. That one he's got called the Party in Hell was canceled due to the fire. I had one, I was going to bring it back to Tammy, Tim, and put it in the bookstore, and I put it on the side of my 4Runner, and people, they passed me on the interstate, and they go, and read that. There's no telling. I ain't had 9 million people Google it that I know of. But I'm going to tell you something. You can be, listen, we ought to do right by this lost one. They're going to hell, and we don't even care. Don't you tell me you're living right. Y'all listen to me. Don't you tell me you're living right, and you make no attempt to witness to anybody. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You say, Brother Danny, you're hurting my feelings. Well, you're hurting God's.
Yeah.
You say, Brother Danny, you're making me mad. You're making him mad.
Right.
Don't tell me you're living right just because stuff you don't do.
Yeah. Right.
Get you some tracks. Get on a bus route. Yeah. Help out a little bit. Buy them some snacks. Tell that person at work. Invite them guys at work. If you're a man, have enough guts to witness them guys on the job. Amen. It ain't going to kill you. I'll tell you something that happened yesterday. Or the other day. There's a woman. It's on the news. It was on Fox News one morning. This woman dragged this elderly woman out of a train wreck. Train hit her car. No. The train was coming. Her car had stalled. And the woman went and saw her and dragged this elderly woman out of a car. And the train smashed her car. And they put her on there, and they said she deserves a bravery award, and she deserves a plaque and everything. They were saying this woman was so brave. And I thought, our girls that go down in these hollers and stuff are doing the very same thing on them buses.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Tell you something happened yesterday. Me and Brian went down here in Valdez visiting. We went down, he said, turn right here, Brother Danny. We went down this driveway. Y'all really ought to go on the bus route. You really ought. I know you hear me say that, but I'm telling you, you really ought to. It helps you so much. We went down this driveway. It went down this way. It went down that way. It was worse than Bumpy Hill where she lives. If anybody ain't never been to Bumpy Hill, you say, how you go up there and you'll find out how they named it. Bumpiest road in the world she lives on. It can't be worse than that. I'm telling you, that's it. It's like driving on a washboard. But anyway, we went down like this, went down like that, went down like that. I said, the bus don't come down here, does it? Brian said, no, can't get the bus down here. I said, well, how they know when you're coming? He said, we call them about 5 minutes, and they walk up here. Well, we went to that house, went to another, and a man came out of that house. And this man came out of the house, and he said, I'm not used to seeing you here. I didn't even recognize him. He hugged my neck. He said, sit down, preacher, down here in Valdez. And I sat down, and he began to talk. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, my little boy come on y'all's buses. I don't know if he's Jesse. Was he here this morning? He was? Old Jesse. His daddy sat on that front porch, and you know there's flowers out there, and he had a snake, a fake snake, laying there. I said, man, well, that snake's in there. He said, that's to keep birds out of my flowers. He said, the birds won't get any flowers if you lay a fake snake out there. And also good for dogs and insurance men, people come bother you. And we're sitting down on the front porch like this. He said, let me tell you something. He said, my little boy loves to come to your church. He said, he won't go to another church but Shining Light. He said, my little boy, he said he can't wait till that bus comes. He said he'd been riding that bus to y'all's church for 7 years. And see, the devil had been working me over the last few days because we've had so many people quit the bus ministry and lost our drivers and buses tore up. And the devil just said, just quit one of them. Just give one of them up. And that man said, he's rode that bus for 7 years. He said, he looks for that bus. He looks for that old bus. Listen to me, don't talk. And he said this. He said, preacher, let me show you something. He went in the house and he got out a thing that little boy had done for school. And it said, what is your biggest dream and how would you accomplish this dream? And you know what that little boy put on that paper? Third grade. He said the biggest dream was that there would be no more fighting and trouble in the world. And the way to accomplish it was everybody pray and get right with God. And that daddy looked at me and he said, you know where he learned that? I said, where? He said, from you. Amen. He said, that bus. Amen. He said, his teacher come to me and she said, he's the only kid in the class that put something like that. The rest of them said, I want to be a movie star. I want to be here. And I want how I'll work hard and become a football player star. He said, he's the only kid in the class. He said, he learned that because of that bus. He said, there's a little old skinny fella named Mike come to our house. Right back there he sits. He said, a little old skinny guy. He wasn't that big around. Come to our house. I said, I know who that is. He said, he come to our house and just started riding the bus. And I thought, boy, I left there and I thought, Lord have mercy. That's why the devil don't want us in the bus ministry. That's why he fights our buses. That's why he tells you to quit. That's why, listen, there's lots of them out there like that. Let's do right by them. Let's do right. I'm driving about all night Friday night, and I plan on being here Saturday morning.
That's right.
So I'm tired. I'm tired too. And I go to Florida the next day, 2 days later, and won't have time to mow my grass. But I want to do right by our bus kids. I want to do right. There's some of you sitting right here tonight who'll be in this hall and say, preacher, I'm count me in. The least I can do. I'll help women on Sunday. I'll help women in junior church. I'll help women. I'll do whatever I can. I want to do right. Just do right. One person said, well, I don't feel led. I don't always feel led to do the right thing. I feel led to do wrong lots of times, but it ain't the Lord leading me. Amen? Don't your flesh want to do the wrong thing? It don't matter how you feel. Let's just do right. Do what's right. Let's stand. Bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Song being made ready. Let's do right by our mate. Let's do right by our church. Let's do right by them sinners out there tonight. That's all I'm saying. Just do right. I'm not telling you to do something going to kill you. Just do right. Come on. Come on. Let's just get out of our seats tonight. Say, preacher, count me in. I'll do my part. I'm going to do my part.